Welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Pete Anderson. Today I'll be reading from the June 10th, 2024 edition of the Hartford Business Journal. The first story we're going to look at today is titled The Hub. The story is subtitled, After Bargain Acquisition, Owners Breathing New Life into Long-Neglected Windsor Industrial Office Complex, Major Warehouse Expansion is Planned. Forgive Chuck Terrio if he was a little skeptical about the new owners of 175 Addison Road in Windsor. Terrio has been the property manager for the site, which includes both office and industrial space, for 31 years, long enough to have worked for all four previous landlords. I've seen it sold for $67 million, all the way down to $9 million, he said. He's also seen a number of renovation plans over the years, most of which didn't come to fruition. A quick tour of the complex in mid-May, however, demonstrated that things are different this time, with Terrio expressing his satisfaction with the newest owners, Bradford Wainman of Glastonbury-based commercial real estate investment firm Hollister & Moore, LLC, and Stephen Inglace of New Haven Group. The duo bought the site, which was appraised at $43.2 million, for just $9 million last year. Not only are they following through with over $1 million in renovations, they also have applied to the town of Windsor for a special use permit to add two 150,000 square foot flex warehouse slash manufacturing buildings on the property. Located just 15 minutes north of downtown Hartford, 175 Addison, formerly known as the Addison Corporate Center, sits on 78.6 acres. It includes a 400,000-square-foot, one-story, flex industrial building attached to a 200,000-square-foot, four-story office building. The property also offers 2,200 parking spaces. The complex was built in 1974 by Aetna Life Insurance Company, which sold it 30 years later for $23.75 million. Just 23 months later, in October 2006, it sold for $64.4 million. 10 years after that, in November of 2016, it was sold again, this time for $41 million to the Addison Property Owner, LLC, whose principal is Julia McCullough of McKenzie Realty Operating Partnership. The region's commercial office market, however, has changed dramatically since then, in part due to the pandemic. At the end of the first quarter of 2024, 23.7% of Greater Hartford's 30.4 million square feet of office space was vacant, according to real estate firm CBRE. That was up from 16.35% vacancy rate recorded at the end of 2016. Windsor's office market in particular has taken a beating. The Hartford North market, which includes the town of Windsor, had a 54.8% office vacancy rate at the end of the first quarter, according to CBRE. The office building at 175 Addison has a 62% vacancy rate, Inglace said. That allowed Wainman and Inglace, who each have portfolios of commercial, industrial, and retail properties in Connecticut and elsewhere, to acquire 175 Addison last June for the bargain price of $9 million. The building had been owned by an out-of-state investment fund, Inglace said. It was underwater, so the value was well underneath what the fund paid for it. The previous owner had planned to redo the common area, he said, but lacked the money to get it done. Because we bought the property when we did, we have the ability and the resources now to invest back in the property, Inglace said. They also have proposed using the land across Addison Road from the building, currently occupied by 1,180 parking spaces, to erect two more flexible buildings for use as warehouse or industrial or manufacturing space, which has remained in demand despite the office market struggles. There's expansion potential, Wainman said. The new owners said they are making the investment to renovate certain areas of the property because they see the potential. Both Inglace and Wainman say it's the common areas and some uncommon features that make this complex unique. First, it has a 10-megawatt power plant that's backed up by on-site generators, which means the property never goes dark, Inglay said. For companies that are doing engineering or high-tech manufacturing, you know that the building is always going to have power, he said. The power plant also means the facility can consistently provide manufacturers both chilled and heated water, which can be used for high-tech manufacturing or bioscience lab work. The office and industrial buildings on site are connected by unique common areas. In addition to a cafe and dining area, there's also a fully outfitted 24-hour fitness center. It includes lockers, a sauna, free weights, weightlifting, and cardio machines, and will eventually offer fitness classes. It also has a centralized conference center with built-in audiovisual equipment that can seat about 200 people and be rented by tenants. The owners are also creating spaces to be used as breakout rooms during conferences. The cafe and dining area is being renovated and updated and will include a 24-hour market where the employees of the building tenants can also buy food. It also offers access to outdoor courtyard areas that will feature picnic tables and Adirondack chairs. If we've got a fully operational cafe where you can get a hot sandwich, there's no other building in the market that supplies that, Inglay said. They also plan to redefine the phone booths by offering spaces for employees to have private cell phone conversations. But Inglay and Wainman see the property's central common areas as a gathering place for more than just dining and phone calls. We're going to call this the hub, Inglay said, of the cafe and seating area. The whole goal is to get everyone passing through the space every day. To encourage that, they plan to install soft seating areas and gaming tables featuring ping pong, foosball, and shuffleboard. The decor will also encourage people to relax with one side painted in blue like the ocean and the other light green like the forest, he said. When we first bought the building, we didn't realize how important the hub was going to be until we looked at the overall competition, Inglay said. No one has that, so it's really an effective marketing tool. Even small business owners or sole proprietors who can't afford to lease space can still find a way to utilize the building, he added, because one of the new tenants will be Regus, the co-working company that rents desks and ready-to-use office space. There are a lot of Regus offices around the area, Inglay said, but if you rent here, you've got the ability to rent our 200-person conference facilities or use the gym. You're not going to find another Regus around that's going to have that capability. With the renovations expected to be completed by the end of June, Wainman and Inglay are talking to other prospective tenants. The 175 Addison Complex has some holdover tenants, including Triumph Integrated Systems, a manufacturer of electronics and components for the aerospace industry that's a division of the West Hartford-based Triumph Group. Even with Triumph, approximately 135,500 square feet of flex/industrial space with 17 to 22-foot high ceilings is still available. Other tenants, including Belcan Global Engineering, CDI Engineering Solutions, Community Solutions Incorporated, Silent Incorporated, and Quest Global. Asked what the rents in the complex will be, they didn't quote a price but said manufacturers will pay one rate while office tenants will pay another. We can be super competitive because our basis is so low, Wainman said. He said most prospective tenants are waiting to see the renovation work completed. Everyone has always been talking about doing this renovation, and it never got done, Wainman said. I think everyone's kind of holding their breath and waiting to say, okay, it's for real. Wainman added that the hub concept is intended to help tenants lure workers back to the office in the post-pandemic era. The whole concept of having the hub is to get people to want to come back to work, and they want to come here because there's always other things to do, he said. Joel Greico, an executive director of office brokerage in Cushman & Wakefield's Hartford office, helped broker the deal of 175 Addison last year. He's also helping to lease the property. By investing in renovations, the new owners are recharging 175 Addison's vibe and creating an environment where employees want to be, Greico said. Low rent, relevant and fun amenities, strong ownership, and 1 mile from the highway. For most tenants, this is a compelling combination of benefits, Greco said. The next story from the Hartford Business Journal is titled, A New Purpose. The story is subtitled, With Major Projects in the Queue, Enfield Could Finally Find Its Economic Development Stride. With several large-scale development proposals in the works, the town of Enfield could be in store for an economic resurgence that leads to grand list growth and spurs additional activity. Four major projects would bring a combination of housing, recreation, and mass transit to the town of about 42,000 residents, while repurposing properties whose uses are becoming obsolete. The proposed $250 million Enfield Square Mall redevelopment is the largest planned project with the greatest potential economic impact, said Donald Poland, Senior Vice President of Urban Planning at East Hartford commercial real estate advisory firm Gorman & York. Poland helped draft Enfield's plan of conservation and development and is currently working to update town zoning regulations. Nebraska-based Woodsonia Real Estate Group Incorporated recently announced plans to buy the 570,000-square-foot mall, which is 85% vacant, and turn it into a mixed-use development with retail, housing, and recreation. The purchase agreement, the details of which were not disclosed, is contingent on approvals from the current mall owner, New York-based Namdar Realty Group. The proposed Enfield Marketplace project would create 450 residential units, two hotels, and retail and restaurant space. Also moving through the land use process is a plan to turn the former MassMutual office campus into a large-scale recreational facility with fields, hotels, and restaurants. Efforts are also underway to build a new Hartford Line train station in town and convert a religious campus into senior housing. Malls, large corporate parks, religious facilities are all obsolete, and they have to find a way to repurpose, Poland said. Enfield has suffered some economic setbacks in recent years, including from corporate relocations. MassMutual left its sprawling Enfield campus to consolidate its local operations in Springfield. Toymaker Lego Group, by the end of 2026, is relocating its North American headquarters and 740 employees to Boston from Enfield, where it had been located for a half a century. Efforts to redevelop large and obsolete real estate parcels have been slow-moving, while the town is also facing budgetary pressures that recently led to education-related cuts, including the elimination of nearly 130 school system positions. Despite that, Enfield's grand list, or the value of taxable property, has gradually increased over the past decade to $3.7 billion in 2022, up 30.4% from 2013. And with several major projects on tap, the town could be finding its stride, Poland said. Fast Track Realty LLC has submitted plans for a multi-building sports complex called All Sports Village at 85 and 100 Bright Meadow Boulevard that would have indoor and outdoor fields and courts, a hotel, family entertainment center, and restaurants and bars on nearly 70 acres. If approved, the development will be located at the vacant MassMutual office complex site, which has 430,000 square feet of mostly office space that will be partially torn down. Some fields will be built over existing parking lots. Andy Borgia of Fast Track Realty said it's a complex project and his team is continuing to work through land use approvals. It has one inland wetlands approval and is now moving to the planning and zoning process. Once completed, the development will create hundreds of jobs and generate economic growth for the area through taxes and potential new development around the sports complex, Borgia said. Aaron Markovich, Enfield's Director of Economic and Community Development said a main draw for the project will be the hotel and restaurant, which will have a ton of impact on the visitors, as well as job creation and attracting new residents. He said there's a big focus in the state on tourism through sports and attractions. The town is favorable to anything that's going to bring in a really great project to keep us on the map and show some really great progress, Markovich said. Enfield also has a new train station project on tap, with construction targeted to begin in the spring of 2025. The State Department of Transportation-led project is in the design phase with the targeted completion date of 2027. The $45 million train station, funded through state bonding and federal grants, will be the newest stop on the CT Rail Hartford line, connecting riders from Amtrak and Metro North lines. Other towns with new train stations, like New Britain and Berlin, have seen tens of millions of dollars in adjacent public or private development projects, from new roads, sidewalks, and infrastructure to mixed-use housing and retail complexes. Enfield is hoping to attract similar transit-oriented development with the goal of creating more vibrant, live-work, play feel in the town, officials said. More than $3 million in funding will support public streetscape and utility improvements around the Enfield station, including upgrades to sidewalks, roadways, lighting, and parking, Markovich said. Additionally, he said the nearby Connecticut River is a massively underutilized resource in Enfield, and he's hoping the planned development projects can spur revitalization along the waterfront. We'll try to unlock dollars to get out there and rally for the projects, he said. Many parcels are owned by the town or involve the town, so leadership is really hoping these will move the needle. A senior housing project, conceptualized 2 years ago, would redevelop the Felician Sisters Our Lady of the Angels Convent campus, which sits on nearly 30 acres at 1297 Enfield Street. An initial zone change proposed by Boston-based The Community Builders, which would have allowed more than 300 housing units on site, faced opposition from local residents concerned about the project's scale and was rejected by the town. However, this past April, the Enfield Planning and Zoning Commission made an amendment allowing for elderly housing in the convent area via special permit approval. The new redevelopment plan, which hasn't officially been submitted to the town land use boards, will scale down the original concept by calling for 45 units reserved for lower income residents age 62 and older. Proponents of the new plan said it would bring much-needed sector housing to Enfield and find a suitable reuse of the convent campus. Poland of Gorman and York said each project has its own benefits, but one clearly has the greatest potential for economic impact and smart reuse. At the end of the day, the mall is the standout site, he said. It's past its prime and underperforming. It's in a highly visible area and will be an anchor to the community with its potential for housing and critical mass. Drew Snyder, president of Woodsonia, said traditional malls have broken business models and are struggling to compete with large-scale online retailers like Amazon. Large malls are often centrally located and prime for mixed-use redevelopment, Snyder said. However, the project, which is only in the design phase, is far from a sure bet. The redevelopment hinges on at least $20 million in state funding to help pay for the construction. It will also require numerous governmental approvals. The town has been eyeing a mixed-use redevelopment of the mall since at least 2018, Markovich said. So the idea of housing, retail, walkability, maybe hotels, restaurants, having an impact on improved mix, better circulation, better connection, is right on target, he said. The town supports Woodsonia's redevelopment proposal and will seek funding from the State Department of Economic and Community Development's Community Investment Fund to help make the project a reality. The town has approved a local property tax break, giving the mall site a $7.3 million tax assessment for 10 years, along with a credit enhancement agreement. That's the best and most viable option for the site, Poland said, of the redevelopment proposal. Time and time again with retail, whether it's malls or strip plazas, big box retail, they are scaling back on the amount of retail. Right-sizing is a common strategy. These four projects alone won't completely transform Enfield, Poland said, but they will put the town on the right track with a focus on multifamily development and creating a more vibrant, walkable community. Next up from the Hartford Business Journal, Connecticut Innovations approves tax breaks for major mid-tech food manufacturing projects. Connecticut Innovations, the state's quasi-public venture capital arm, has approved sales and use tax exemptions for three major projects, including the state's first proton therapy center in Wallingford. The project sought tax breaks under the state's Sales and Tax Use Relief Program, which exempts companies from Connecticut's 6.35% sales tax up to a certain amount for capital equipment and/or construction materials purchases. CI's loan committee in May approved up to $5 million tax exemptions for construction costs related to the Connecticut Proton Therapy Center's 25,000-square-foot facility. Yale New Haven Health, Hartford Healthcare, and Proton International have partnered to develop the $75 million Proton Therapy Center, which is under construction. Also, the committee approved a $700,000 tax exemption for Home Market Food Incorporated expansion and renovation of the former Carla's Pasta facility in South Windsor. Home Market Foods, based in Norwood, Massachusetts, has proposed a $71 million upgrade and 28,000 square foot addition to the existing facility at 50 Talbot Lane and 280 Nutmeg Road for a frozen food manufacturing plant. The company produces frozen meatballs and other foods, including hot dogs. In addition, the loan committee greenlit up to a $500,000 tax exemption for New England Cell Therapeutic Incorporated construction of a new biotechnology research and development facility in Windsor. The company in 2021 proposed to build a 50,000-square-foot facility at 2195 Dayhill Road, but the project has been delayed. In 2022, New England Cell, which is owned by Japan-based Nipro Group, purchased the roughly 40-acre site for $4.4 million. The company is developing medical equipment and test and diagnostic-related products. To qualify for the Sales and Use Tax Relief Program, a project must be valued at more than $4 million. CI requires a letter of credit so the agency can force repayment if the company falls short of its requirements or moves out of state within 10 years. Full or partial drawbacks have occurred. The exemptions require approvals only from CI's loan committee. The next item from the Hartford Business Journal, titled Truck Driver Training School Seeks to Buy Land in Bristol. A longtime commercial driver training school is seeking to acquire land in Bristol Industrial Park to create a new training facility. Seymour-based Allstate Commercial Driver Training School is seeking to buy and develop lots at 10 and 11 in the Southeast Bristol Business Park on Business Park Drive. The two wooded lots, with a combined 3.23 acres, are located behind ESPN's North Campus and adjacent to CMI Specialty Products, Incorporated. They are also just west of the Pond Ridge Condominiums on Redstone Hill Road. The Bristol Planning Commission in mid-May unanimously approved a motion authorizing Mayor Jeff Caggiano to execute a purchase and sale agreement with Business Park LLC, which does business as Allstate Commercial Driver Training School. The LLC is owned by Vincent Majorano and Christopher Majorano, who own and operate the school. The potential sale price for the two lots was not disclosed. The city's Economic and Community Development Board has also approved selling the two lots. Allstate wants to build a 12,000-square-foot building with 18 parking spaces. The building would hold classroom and office space. The development would also include an outdoor training field described as a paved area with cones to simulate driving maneuvers for students. Students work one-on-one with instructors, with 3 to 4 instructors training approximately 15 to 25 students daily The proposal states, classes would be held 7 days a week from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Allstate has operations in Seymour at 249 Pearl Street since 1975. According to its website, it also has a satellite training facility and testing location in Meriden. The proposal states that Bristol site would be a new campus. Officials with Allstate could not be reached for comment. Connecticut, like the rest of the country, has faced a significant shortage of truck drivers. That led the state legislature in 2022 to pass a law that requires the Department of Correction to make space and technology available for inmates to prepare for and take a commercial driver's license test. Turning now to the BizBrief section of the Hartford Business Journal, Lamont announces $100 million program to support innovation clusters. Governor Ned Lamont recently announced the creation of a $100 million initiative to support and accelerate growth in key sectors of the state's economy. Speaking at his alma mater during the 10th annual Yale Innovation Summit, the two-day event that kicked off in late May at the Yale School of Management in New Haven, Lamont said the Innovation Clusters program will support several sectors critical to the state's economy, including biotechnology, financial and insurance technology, and advanced manufacturing. Administered by the State Department of Economic and Community Development, or DECD, the program will leverage private and public investment to support development of new technologies, such as artificial intelligence and quantum computing in those high-growth clusters. DECD Commissioner Daniel O'Keefe said the program will prioritize funding for capital projects that incorporate a strong focus on workforce training, economic development, neighborhood vibrancy, and regional stakeholder collaboration. The next item, Fitch gives A-plus rating to pending $669 million Yale New Haven Health bond issuance. $333 million will be used for capital spending. Fitch Ratings has assigned an A-plus rating to $669 million in bonds that will be issued on behalf of Yale New Haven Health. Proceeds from the bond issuance are expected to refund the health system's existing debt and provide approximately $333 million to support Yale New Haven's capital spending program. Fitch outlined several major capital projects Yale New Haven has underway or planned, including construction of an $840 million neuroscience center at the St. Raphael campus in New Haven and a comprehensive outpatient center in Meriden. Most other capital spending will be distributed at infrastructure improvements, technology and equipment needs, and additional ambulatory access centers, according to Fitch. The bonds are expected to price the week of June 10th, Fitch said. Well, that's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the June 10th, 2024 edition of the Hartford Business Journal. I'm Pete Anderson. So long until next time.